Take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Where will those that could come behind us find us? And that's always a challenge. We want to consider what the world and the generation behind us, what we're leaving behind. Now, obviously, in these difficult days that we live in, and who knows what America is going to be like for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but they still, no matter what happens in our country, they still should be able to find a Bible-believing church that teaches and preaches the gospel and have a service similar to this. I think that I really truly believe that the apostles or disciples could come in and would feel comfortable in a church service that has Bible preaching, teaching, and singing and things like that. Obviously, there would be some new and different things for them, but hopefully the generations, grandkids, great-grandkids, they'll be able to come to churches like ours, the type of churches similar to ours, and hear preaching and teaching, whether here and out in the public or even in secret. Someone's going to carry on that tradition, passing that down. So I think it's important. John chapter number 14, if you've ever heard me do a funeral message, now this is not the only message I speak out at funerals, but oftentimes I love this passage of scripture because it deals with people that are hurting. Deals with people that have troubled hearts, agitated hearts that are kind of being tossed to and fro. And the reality that we live in today is there's a lot of troubling things out there. And the disciples here are getting ready to see Jesus be crucified, or at least if they came back to watch, their life is getting ready to be turned completely upside down. Going to go against the religious leaders or the government of that day, even later on be faced with persecution and death and all those different things. And this night, and we're going to go over this in the message, but in this night, Jesus tells them, one of you is going to betray me. The leader of the group, Peter, in a sense, I don't know if he really truly was, he's definitely the most outspoken one, but it seems like the leader of the group, you're going to deny me. Then he tells the disciples, hey, I'm leaving and you can't come. And their hearts are filled with trouble. Their whole life has been based around being with Jesus and Jesus teaching them these things. And they're planning on him being the Messiah. They're planning on him being king, Lord, leader. And you know what his advice for them was? Let not your heart be troubled. He said, there is a lot of troubling things that are happening in this world today. But there is one thing you do not have to do is you don't have to be troubled about them. Why? It's because you believe in God. And there is a lot of troubling things happening in this world today. And the one thing about trouble, it interrupts our lives greatly. And it seems like it's unfair. Just when it seems like everything's going good, trouble comes and interrupts itself and shows right up on our doorstep. And we're not asking for it. It's not welcome. It never comes announced, but it comes. Could you imagine 2021 was going to be like this after 2020? Maybe so. But 5 years ago, could you imagine the things that are happening in our political realm and on the local levels, the attacks that are happening all across this country and all across this world and trying to force things on people, trying to take things away from other people, whether you think things are right or whether you think things are wrong. It is a very troubling time we live in. And I wonder what God would say to us. And I wonder what God would tell us. I think he'd tell us to walk by faith, not by sight. And in this passage of scripture, and I know what's going through some of your minds. Oh, pastor must not have wanted to study today. He talks about this passage at least once a year. And it's probably true. Maybe it's every other year, but God always brings us back to this spot because there are so many people today that live without peace, so many people today that are troubled, so many people that let worry just dictate their lives. And I know a few weeks ago we talked about being overwhelmed, and we spent the whole entire day looking at being overwhelmed. But today, this morning, the Lord laid upon my heart, there's a lot of troubled hearts out there. There are a lot of people going through a lot of things that is really overwhelming, and it does not get easier. What are we supposed to tell the world? What are we supposed to show the world? What are we leaving for the generations to find? What will they discover about us? What will they see in our lives? And I think it's important to remember what John chapter 14 says this morning. Start in verse number one. He looks at the disciples, and once again, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, when he's saying that, he's talking about the heart. He's talking about the center of your life. He's talking about where your emotions and your feelings come from. He knows what's in your heart. I don't know about that. That is so comforting, but it's also so convicting. It's the reality is he knows everything that you're going through, and he knows how you're facing it. Some of us can put on a facade. Some of us can stand up straight and just keep on going, acting like nothing's bothering us. But and completely inside, we're torn apart. And he looks at these disciples, and we'll use these 10 because he's already told Peter, you're going to deny me. So I can only imagine what's going through his mind. But the other 10, Judas has already left the room. He looks at them, and they, once again, the first point is, I want you to, what the disciples are going through. Consider what the disciples are going through. Consider what they just found out. They have just found out Jesus is leaving. Peter's going to deny us. Judas is going to betray us. Of course, they didn't even know it was Judas just yet. They still didn't figure it out, even though Christ had told them it was him who put the stuff in the sop. They're still probably wondering about that. And Jesus was leaving, and they couldn't follow him. They find out all these things, and their emotions are going crazy. And Jesus looks at them and says, don't worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be agitated by it. Don't lose your peace because of it. Don't lose your rest that you have in God. Don't let your heart be stirred up. Don't have a complete loss of tranquility over the fact that you just heard these three really huge life-changing things. So we think about the things that they had just heard. Now, consider what they're getting ready to face. They're getting ready to see Judas betray Christ. The Peter, James, and John are getting ready to told, couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? They're getting ready to watch Jesus be arrested and Jesus taken and put on a fake trial, hung on a tree for all the world to see and to live for 3 days. And I'm sure fear. I'm sure being overwhelmed, not knowing what their future was, not knowing what's going to happen to them. They were some of his followers, not knowing anything that's happening. And what is the message that Jesus is telling them? Because Jesus knew they're going to be facing this the next 3 days. What does he look at them and what does he say to them? Let not your heart be troubled. I know people say to me sometimes, I know what the Bible says, but you know what? We need to stick with what the Bible says and forget about the buts. I know what God says, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know the decisions. This could change my whole life. Could you imagine the disciples? We look at the disciples and say that to them. What do you think they would say to us? Well, listen to what I went through. Listen to decisions I had to face. Listen to where my world was turned upside down. Listen to what happened to my family. And all those 10 that are there, and you're thinking about 11, you know, obviously counting Peter, they all at least had their lives almost put out for the cause of Christ, all but one, and he got out of it one time just so he could write the book of Revelation. So their lives were put to the test to the point that they gave up their life. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. Think about what they just figured out, what they just heard. Jesus says, one, he's going to deny me, one, he's going to betray me, one of you, and I'm leaving and you can't come. And then Jesus thinks about the next 3 days that are ahead of them, watching Jesus die, being in the garden, all those things, all the emotions that went through with that. You think about that. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Now consider, after the 40 days, they're up in the upper room, they're there, they're praying, the Holy Spirit of God comes up, and you know, the first century church, you know, takes off, it's filled with the Spirit of God. Now their life is going to be perfect, it's going to be great, nothing bad's going to happen. No, read the book of Acts. See, even though there was great, great promises, and there was great power, and great things happened, but there was great persecution too. What did Jesus tell them that night? He says, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of troubling things that happen in this world. But what I think he's telling these disciples is, don't let any of them rob you of your peace. So the first thing I want you to think about is what the disciples are going through, what they just found out, what the 3 days are going to be like, what the rest of their lives are going to be like, and at the end, whether they're crucified upside down, crucified normal, run through by a spear, all the different ways. They died for the cause of Christ, with the exception of John, who got out of the boiling pot of oil and wrote the book of Revelation. And what was Jesus' message to them in verse chapter 14, verse number 1? Let not your heart be troubled. Second thing I want you to think about, how Jesus told him to handle it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And that's easy to say. Oh, don't be worried. Don't lose your peace about it. Don't get worked up. So what am I supposed to do with all these emotions? What am I supposed to do with all these problems? And what he tells them to do is, number one, I know we alluded to this already, don't lose your peace. The word troubled there is referring to being agitated, stirred up. Our circumstances are not what we wanted. Sometimes the circumstances are not what we planned. And sometimes we have anxiety. What are we supposed to do next to fix it? On the eve of all these things, Jesus looks at them and says, whatever happens, don't lose your peace in God. I know a few Sundays we've spent some time looking at Philippians chapter number 4. And I know it's because of the times and the hardships and the things that we're facing. But we need to let the presence of God rule and reign in our lives. Our hopes and our dreams are not built in this world. Our hopes and dreams are built in what God can do in our lives, what God can do through us. So number one is don't lose your peace. This is how he told them to handle it. The second thing is to believe. You keep on reading. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. When Jesus perceived what was in the disciples' heart, he says, this was my message. It didn't take him to another self-help class. He didn't tell him, hey, this is how you deal with this. This is how you deal with that. He says, look, you already believe in the Creator God. That's what he says. You believe in God. Believe also in me. He's saying, you believe that there is a God. You believe there is a one true God. You believe that there is a Creator God. And if you look up what it means there, they're fully persuaded of the fact that there is a God that has the power to do everything and can do all things. He says, now also, not just believe in that type of God, but believe also in me. The pastors are the same God. They are, but the disciples weren't trusting in what Jesus was doing that day. When he says, hey, I'm leaving, if you read chapter number 13, he specifically says, hey, I'm leaving and you can't come with me. And Peter's like, no, I'll go with you. I'll lay down my life for you. That's when he says, oh, you're going to lay down your life, but no, you're going to deny me 3 times tonight. And that's when they're all overwhelmed and they're frustrated. And they're like, believe in God. You believe in God. He says, go ahead. You already had that faith. Believe in me. He's saying, believe in the work that I'm doing and what's going to get accomplished. Tomorrow, your faith's going to be tested. When you watch and see me hung up on that cross, trust in what's happening. Because even though you don't understand everything that's going on, you don't understand all the things that are happening, don't let it shake your faith in God. Don't let it shake your faith in what he's trying to do today also. Because I think sometimes we watch what happens in this world and we get torn up inside. And I'm not talking about just laying and down and just not doing anything. There are times to fight. There are times to stand up and fight. There are times to do what is right. I'm telling you, don't let it lose the peace of God on your heart. Don't ever stop believing and trusting that God is in control and that God is working and God has a plan and God can see the beginning from the end. He says, tomorrow you're going to see me hung up on that cross, but I'm dying because that's what I came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. He says, don't stop believing in me because things don't turn out the way you think they should. Because if you go back and you read the history of Christianity, there's a lot of places things were not turning out the way that we thought they should. And we have been blessed to live in a country that has so much spiritual freedom and liberty to preach and teach the gospel and sing these songs. But we are not the norm. This is not the norm. And he's saying, look, you believe in God. He says, believe also in me. This is a comfort to someone who's just lost a loved one. But when our hearts are troubled from day-to-day lives and we see all the things that are happening, I understand why we have some anxiety, but all we need to do is look to Christ, look at what he's done and what he's doing. Remember, these were the men that had walked with Jesus. These were the men who had saw him heal the brokenhearted. They saw him heal the blind. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him feed thousands with just a few fishes and a few loaves. They seen all that. He says, look, tomorrow you might not understand and you might not figure it out. Even after the raising from the, when Christ rose from the dead, they're still sitting in the upper room a week later until he comes. They're confused. He says, don't stop believing. Don't let it shake your faith. Then he even gives a little bit farther. He says, not only does he tell him not to lose your peace, to believe, but then he says, look to the future. Look to the future. There are certain things that we can put up with because we know what the future is going to be like. This world is not our home. And when people may mistreat us, it should not disappoint us. It should not catch us by surprise. We've looked at those things. We realize all that live godly is going to suffer persecution. But he says, hey, I want you to envision what's going to happen in the future. Yes, I don't want your heart to be troubled. I want you to just believe. And don't forget, there's a plan in all this. Look what it says in verse number 2. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm sorry, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I think about this. He is looking to a group of guys that is getting ready to see him die, live 3 days probably in misery and fear, and then spend the next however many years serving him, losing their life, fighting battle after battle for the cause of Christ. And he says, don't focus on those things. Don't forget, I'm going somewhere, and there's many mansions. And then he even says, I love where it says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And to me, when I'm reading that, I'm thinking, if this wasn't true, I wouldn't be putting you through all this. If it wasn't true that someday there's eternity in heaven, the reward's going to be worth it, and that there is a mansion waiting for you, I would have told you long ago, he's not going to send us on some type of wild goose chase. He's not going to have us continue to go through these things and watch all these things without going and saying, hey, I go to prepare a place for you. And you think about it. It's a precious place. Why is it precious? He talked about many mansions. It's a prepared place. And I love this when it says prepared place, because Jesus is preparing a place for us. And he does everything perfectly. And sometimes I wonder, man, how good is that place going to be if he's been preparing it for 2,000 years? It's going to be amazing. He could do all the world in 6 days. But what? And then he says, but it's going to be a place that I'm at. Look what it says in verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, and even though I'm leaving now, someday you get to be with me. It kind of makes it all worth it, doesn't it? Amen. When you consider and you think about the future, Jesus knows my heart because he told me not to be troubled. He knew what I was going to face in those 3 days. He knew what my life was going to be like. And he still says, don't let this shake your faith. Don't let this lose your peace. Don't let this tear you up. And instead, he says, look, I want you to believe. And now I want you to envision the future. This is what eternity is like. The years that you're here, there might be suffering, there might be toil. And once again, our lives aren't all filled with that. There's a lot of peace, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of hope. But at the same time, there might be persecutions, there might be hard times, there might be things that come across our paths that are earth-shaking for most, but we have the peace of God because we know the God of peace. And he's coming into this point and he's saying, consider what it's going to be like. It will be worth it all when I see Jesus. There, those toils and those troubles, they're just for a moment. Think about what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction. Now, Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians is not being treated, afflicted lightly. He's being been put through the ringer by this church. He is even trying to defend himself to this church a little bit about his apostleship. They say all these nasty things about him. But he says, look, it's our light affliction. You read chapter number 1, we were close to dying. All those different things. You know, he talked about the stripes. He talked about all these things in chapter number 11. It's not a light affliction, but the way he looks at it is, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but all the things which are not seen, which means we're not focusing on the temporal, we're focusing on the eternal. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't let these temporal things shake your faith. He says, now allow these temporal things to help you focus on more the eternal things. And he says, and in my Father's house, there's many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If it wasn't going to be worth it, I would have told you, just don't worry about it. Go live your life. He doesn't do that. He says, it is worth it. Don't let these temporal things shake you. Don't let them push your faith. Instead, keep the peace of God and focus on the future. Focus that someday you're running this race for a reason. There's going to be rewards that you're going to win. And it's you're someday you're racing towards that finish line, which is the Bema seat of Christ. And someday you'll give an account of all the times and opportunities you had since you've been saved as a believer and Christian. Praise the Lord, you have a future that is outstanding, is what he's telling these 11 guys. He says, you're getting ready to face something you never ever thought, and it's just the beginning. But don't let any of those things shake your faith. Don't let any of those things rob you of your peace. Don't spend your life worrying and being discouraged. Instead, look for the future. Only so much you can do to me in this world. There's only so many things that we can truly need to fear, because God is the one that can destroy both the body and the soul. What only thing man can do to you is hurt your body. As one famous person said, what are you going to do, threaten me with heaven? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to take me out of this world and make me send me to my mansion early? I know what many of you are thinking. What about my kids, grandkids? This happens or that happens. I've heard them. I feel it. But when I consider what the disciples went through, it reminds me how Jesus had a one-on-one conversation and they were getting ready to watch something they never expected to happen. They have already learned that one of them was going to betray them, which took them by great surprise, that Peter was going to deny them. And he laid a bomb on them when he said, I'm leaving and you can't come. And he says to them, don't let it shake your faith. Don't lose your peace over it. Third thing, this is the last thing, is the peace you can experience. Look what it says in verse number 6. There is peace that's available. What's that peace come in? It's knowing you're on your way to heaven, knowing that this world is not the best it can get. But for those that do not know Christ, this world is the best you get. Eternity is a horrible place in hell for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus is talking to these 10 or 11. He cannot say the same thing to Judas. Judas's heart needs to be troubled. He even reaches to Judas. He calls him friend. It says in verse number 6, he says, Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one way to the Father. There is one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is peace in knowing that you're headed to heaven. I've not done tons of funerals in my life, but I've done my fair share in the last 18 years. And when you know someone professes to be a believer and you've seen it in their life, you're excited for them. You're disappointed for those that are left behind. But there's such a peace in knowing that God promises from his word, and based off the testimony of the believer, they're in heaven today. And there's a peace in knowing that. But I tell you, it tears me up when I'm standing and I give a sermon and I'm preaching about a person who I don't know if they ever were truly saved. Because I know that many times the people sitting in the audience, many of them might not know him either. And even when a person I know that comes to a person's funeral who I believe is a Christian doesn't make you a Christian, that doesn't. There's only one way, isn't there? It's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way to know peace. And yes, you can pop a pill to try to find some peace. You can do it in pleasure or in a bottle. You can do all types of things. You can run down other people. You can make other people feel bad. Maybe that will make you feel more comfortable. But there's only one true peace in knowing what's going to happen to you after you die, and that's by having your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's a peace in knowing you're headed to heaven. This morning, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind so you can have this peace. Look what it says also. There's a peace that only God gives. Look what it says in verses 26 and 27 in chapter 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And look what it says again. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not let this steal your faith. Neither let it be afraid. Once again, he has just told them things that just blew their minds. And he still says, there's a peace that God's offering you. Not just a peace in the fact that you know you're going to heaven, because I would be pretty confident that most people here today that know Christ as their Savior, I've seen many go off into eternity and they're not afraid of dying. But I see some of those people that had that same peace about not being afraid of dying struggle with having peace in this world here today, because they're so concerned with what's happening in here in this world, they're not letting the Holy Spirit. But what he's offering them here is the Comforter. He's coming. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Jesus here is not letting what's getting ready to happen to him to tear him up. He has not lost his peace. He's still going to the garden. Yes, he's going to sweat great drops of blood. Yes, he's going to say, not my will, but thine, Lord. Yes, if it could pass by, let it pass. But if it can't, it's not going to rob me of my peace. It's not going to rob me of my joy. It's not going to rob me of the purpose that God has given me. There is peace that is available to us in times of trouble. We can believe in the power and goodness of God. God is preparing us for tomorrow. He will provide for today. What is the tomorrow he's preparing us for? I don't really know. I don't think anybody can say they know what's going to be like in 10 years here in America. I don't think it's possible to know that. Will God heal our lands? Will there be a mighty revival? Will there continually be a downslide against the word of God, downslide in our world that we live in against Christianity and the stand it's trying to take? What will it be like? God's preparing us for something, but we'll never be prepared for it if we don't have the peace today. Those disciples that night couldn't handle hearing about Peter and Judas and that Jesus was leaving. Imagine what the next day was going to be like when they watched him be hung and hung on the cross. And I know he might not have been there. They might not have been there. There's no biblical record per se of many of them being there except for John himself. And they did run off in the garden. Some people believe they went back and watched. But what about the next day and the day after that and the day after day? They were being prepared for turning the world upside down for Christ. What is God preparing us for today? If we can't handle what's happening today, where are we going to be like tomorrow? So I am not minimizing the things that are happening in the world. I am trying to maximize the peace that God can give you. I'm not trying to say what you're dealing with is not real and that you should not be praying. I'm telling you, it should send us to our knees and asking the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us and brings all things to remembrance. I'm telling you how much you need him. And that's what he's saying. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't you lose your peace. You believe in God. You believe in the Almighty God that can save your soul. You're counting on him to save your soul. You believe that. Now, trust in what he's doing today also. He knows what he's doing. It might not seem like that. I am confident it did not seem like that in the disciples. Even after he rose again from the dead, they were still in that upper room afraid. They didn't have a clue what was going on. What does he offer them? He says, peace be unto you. This morning, what do you think Jesus would say to us, even though we're getting ready to face decisions that might have a long-term effects on us and our children? What would he say? Don't let your heart be troubled. Do not let this shake your faith. Do not let this rob you of your peace. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, Christ would not say, don't let your heart be troubled. He'd probably say something like that. You should be worried. Your heart should be troubled. There is only peace found in Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for